a life, something worthy to be invested in. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Emeritus M. Live God. We're looking forward to the National Day of Prayer event that will be taking place at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church in Cocoa Village area, just west of Cocoa Village there on Stone Street. That will be taking place tonight at 7. I know there are some other events that are taking place. There was a National Day of Prayer breakfast that was taking place this morning, and some events around city halls. And I just want to encourage you, if you get a chance to be in the central Brevard County area later today, that you show up and pray with other people who love Jesus with all their heart, who want to see God move in a supernatural way, who want to see lives transformed for the glory of God. So come and be a part. You know, it's something that happens one day a year, one Thursday a year, and it would be well worth your time. So Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church tonight at 7 p.m. Just off of Stone, or on Stone Street, just west of Cocoa Village. We look forward to seeing you there. So today I want to take you as we go into our deeper into our study on how does the Holy Spirit guide us in all truth. And we just want to give you some guidelines there. Yesterday we talked about everyone who is of the truth listens to Jesus. And then in 1 John chapter 4, we discovered that those who are of the truth, they listen to the spiritual authorities that God has instituted. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of chaos. It's not a kingdom of anarchy. It's a structured kingdom. And I thank God for the authorities over me. And it doesn't mean that you listen to every voice who claims to be a spiritual authority, but those people whose message, whose lives line up with the word of God, line up with the revelation of God's word, and line up with the truth of God. Those are the people, you know, I tell people, you know, don't ask me to do anything illegal, immoral, or unconstitutional. Those are three things I'm not doing. I'm not going to be doing any of those things because that's not where I'm at. So God gives us the spirit of discernment, you know, because there are messengers of Satan that masquerade as messengers of light. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. So you have to operate with discernment when it comes to listening to those spiritual authorities. You got to know them that labor among you. And that's a principle that I take very, very seriously. I want to know the people that I'm working with. That is a revelation that God gave me years ago, and it really did change the way that I operated my life. My ministry is there needs to be a personal relationship there, and I pray that you would look at a personal relationship with your pastor as something that is to be desired. If you in a really, really large church, that might not be something that's possible. It might be a staff pastor or a Sunday school teacher or something, but there needs to be a dynamic network relational accountability. We need to see the gospel lived out, and then we'll be able to do a better job of living out that gospel message ourselves. So we're going to continue in that, as the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. And today we're going to join 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2. And let's begin reading at verse number 5. Do you remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed when the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness. One of the things that you will find in Paul's letters to the Thessalonians is he frequently references the coming of Christ's kingdom, the second coming of Christ. It's just a very important theme, you know, to prepare those believers. Look, you've got to be ready. It's not just a que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. There's a kingdom of God and there is a kingdom of darkness. And he describes how this kingdom of darkness will work. And so we can learn some positives about the kingdom of God by looking at the negatives that are taking place in the kingdom of darkness. It says in verse number 9 that the coming of the lawless one, and I will tell you this, God is not into anarchy. Everybody doing what is right in their own eyes, that is not of the kingdom of God. That's of the kingdom of darkness. You and I are to behave decently and in order. We're supposed to live our lives in a righteous and holy manner. We're supposed to live a life of obedience to the things that God has commanded us to do. So here, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Okay? You can't believe everything that your eye sees. That might sound like a statement that is hard to believe, but I challenge you to go to an illusionist show and see if you can believe everything that you think that you see. And honestly, I've seen some magicians' acts, and I can say, okay, I know how they did that one. That one's pretty easy to figure out. But then there are other ones, and it was like, nah, I've got no idea. Even when they explain it many times, I come away and say, I still don't have any idea how they do that, how they do the card tricks and all of the other things that they do. My eye looks at it and it wants to believe it, even though I know it is an illusion. And then we watched this documentary, is the best way I would describe it. It was a streaming program, and it was called Brain Games or something like that. And it talks about how many times, even if there is a gap in something, that our brain will fill in what is missing, because it thinks that it just ought to, there ought to be a continuity there. You can't always believe everything that you see. And so, and then a lot of times, you know, we get focused on one thing and we're missing the real dynamic that is taking place. There's a diversion that takes place. That's what is talked about here in verse number 9, that the working of Satan, the coming of the lawless one, and according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. It will not be wonders or signs or power being demonstrated that is going to bring glory to God. It would be bringing glory to someone other than God. And that's when you know it's not God. To God belongs all the glory, all the honor, all the power, and all the praise. So, and it says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who are perishing. So you see that deception is not just something that takes place with your lips. It's, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is, talks about deceiving spirits. And let me just go over there just to make sure. Yes, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. There is a spiritual aspect to deception. There can be a verbal aspect to deception. But there can also be a deception that comes from unrighteousness. Listen, we live in a world right now that wants to promote unrighteousness and doesn't even dare to talk about any of the benefits that there is from that manifest from living a righteous lifestyle. Can I tell you something? We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with him. We are heirs of the promises of God, and those promises are yes and amen in Christ. And I don't want to be living a life where people look at me and say, "Oh, you poor thing, you're a Christian." I believe that there is tremendous benefit both in the life to come in eternity, but also in the life now, that there is a tremendous benefit from living an obedient, righteous, holy, sanctified life. I believe that for me. I believe that for my kids. I believe that for my church, and I believe that for you. And don't allow the enemy to deceive that there is benefits from unrighteousness, because that's going to lead to perishing. That's what it says there. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So the first thing that I want to share with you today is that we need to receive the love of the truth. I don't like to be lied to. I don't like it at all. When my kids were growing up, that was the worst thing that they could do. You know, that was worse than, you know, getting into a quarrel with their siblings. Because we looked at it at the scripture and said all liars are going to have their part in the lake of fire. And so we didn't want to create a culture of deception. So we did not teach, okay, I want to say this, we did not teach our kids that if they answered the phone and somebody was on the phone that we didn't want to talk to, we did not teach them to say, "Well, tell them I'm not here." You know, there's the old story of the parent that told that to the child, and the child said, "They said to tell you that they're not here," you know, and at that point in time, you know, you have just been outed, you have been revealed. We you know, wanted to teach our kids, you know, to deal with people honestly. And so a lot of times I believe that people teach their kids spiritual lessons that they really don't want those kids to learn. And in fact, there's a commercial on television where a grandma's knocking on the door, and the mother is hiding in the bathroom while her daughter is brushing her teeth, and grandma is saying, "Is your mother in there?" And the mother shaking her head to the little girl saying no, and the little girl is telling the grandmother no. Couldn't tell you what product it is, but I can tell you this, I'm not going to be buying that product because I don't want deception taking place. I will tell you this, that just because someone asks a question doesn't mean that they're entitled to an answer. Took me a long time. I'm that compliant personality that I just want to tell everybody everything that I can, you know, but just because a person asks a question doesn't mean that I'm at liberty to disclose that answer. And it doesn't matter who it is or how upset they get. I'm not at liberty to discuss everything that I know. So we need to love the truth. We need to love not only the philosophical aspect of the truth, but we need to love receiving truth. We need to love demonstrating truth, speaking truth, and we need to we just need to develop an all-around mindset where we are completely lovers of truth. And, you know, sometimes that's a challenge for my personality. You know, we want to soften the blow, but we need to be people who love the truth. Now look at what it says. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I don't want to be the person that doesn't tell another person about Jesus and the sacrifice that he paid for their lives because I might hurt their feelings. They might get mad at me. They might not like me anymore. I need to be the person that says, you know what? I love you too much to withhold this valuable information from you. And then whatever you do with that, however the Holy Spirit deals with you, I need to be the person that says, look, there is a day of accountability that is coming. It's not just coming for me. It's not just coming for others. It is coming for everyone. And we need to be ready for that. Truth prepares people, and it results in people being saved. There is a tremendous attempt to, how do I want to say this? Undermine the credibility of God's word. They want to debate away the integrity of God's word. Say God's word doesn't mean what God's word says that it means. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, it's all about inclusion and, you know, just being one big happy family. But the reality is altering truth makes it deception. Altering truth is not going to result in people being saved. It's going to result in them being deceived. And I don't want anyone's blood on my hands. So I want to be a person that tells the spiritual truth. And it says because of this in verse number 11, for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but who had pleasure in unrighteousness. So there are several negative manifestations that people can have towards the truth of God's word. Here it says that they don't believe it. They don't believe it. And I will tell you this, that believing something that is untrue doesn't make it true. And refusing to believe something that is true doesn't make it untrue. Those two things are like a positive and a negative of the same thing. But there are many people who believe things that people have told them that are not true. One of the tactics of propagandists is to tell a lie so often that it becomes accepted as the truth. But it still doesn't make it true. And you can see that device at work in America every single day. And I will tell you that believing a lie doesn't make it true. On the same hand, there are many people who recognize the truth of God's word and they say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, then you've got a problem with Jesus, because Jesus talked about a very real hell. He talked about a very real heaven, a very real God. He also talked about a very real hell and a very real devil. And a lot of people say, oh, well, the devil was just made up. Listen, if you look around and you don't see evil on display in this world, I don't know what you look at, because evil is on display. That's a manifestation of the demonic forces that work contrary to the Spirit of God. If on the same hand, if you look around and you don't see God doing some good things in the world, you know, you might want to take a look around again. You know, the world wants to blame God for everything that goes bad and doesn't want to give him any credit for anything that happens that is good. So there are some people who refuse to believe the truth. There are other people who, Romans chapter 1, and we're going to move through these here pretty quickly here. I just got to get to the right page. Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. You know, there are some things that I hear advertised from time to time, and it says if you've got some unfavorable things that are mentioned about you online, then you can buy this program and we will help bury those things, and where they will not come up very, very high. There are people who are trying to suppress things, people who try and cover things up. Well, when you're trying to suppress the truth, I will tell you this. The truth is eventually going to come out. It might take a longer time than what some people expect, but there are some people who try to suppress it. They will try and suppress it with their mouth, but many people here, especially in Romans chapter 1, verse number 8, it talks about that they try and suppress the truth of righteousness, to suppress the truth of God with unrighteousness. They just try to overload or bombard society with all of this unrighteousness so that you do not know that the reality of the truth is there. And still in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 25, it talks about people who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So you've got some people who don't believe the truth. They don't love the truth. They try and suppress the truth. And then you've got some people who at one point in time had the truth in their hands and they exchanged it for the lie of focusing on the object of creation instead of the creator. Never, ever exchange the truth for a lie. Always make sure that God is the center of your attention. There are a lot of young people. Listen, I'm a former youth pastor. There are a lot of young people who grow up and they have a relationship with God, and then they hit a certain stage in their life and they get their focus shifted from God and his plan and his purpose for their life, and they start focusing on relationships and other things that this world has to offer. And before you know it, they've exchanged the truth that they had in their hand, and they said the lie is more valuable. That's what an exchange is. It is something where you say, you know what? This is not as valuable to me as what you are offering me. And so I'm willing to give this truth away, this truth that God loves me, that God has a plan for my life, that he saved me, that he orders my steps and directs my path. He does life with me. All of that truth, that he's preparing a place for me, that he's right now interceding on my behalf, and that the Holy Spirit is guiding me into all truth, that reality is not as valuable to me as being accepted by some sort of creation of God who wants to try and entice with a unrighteous, hedonistic lifestyle that is filled with nothing more than pleasure. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, got so many notes here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. There are people, and this is talking about people inside the church who are trying to use godliness as a way of getting ahead in their own life and trying to use it as a way to manipulate other people. And the Bible talks about that they are destitute of the truth. They are void of the truth. There is no truth in them. And so when people say that they've been hurt at church, I understand. But you have to realize that not everybody in church is walking on the same spiritual plane. Some people are there for ulterior motives. Karl Marx he was raised Jewish, and his dad, when he moved to another town, he told his family, "We're going to become Lutheran because that is the best way for us to improve ourselves economically here." And when Karl Marx said, "You know what, when I see that people do that for networking benefits, not because it's, you know, what they believe to be the truth," then all of a sudden he turned his back and he became the founder of communism. He rejected that truth. So we need to make sure that we do not empty ourselves of truth, and that we're not destitute of truth. I don't know about you, but being destitute has never been a lifelong goal of mine. And then there is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 8. That's where we are going to end for today's broadcast. And it says this: "Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith." Jannes and Jambres was the name of the two magicians that withstood Moses in Pharaoh's court. And it said, so there are also people who resist the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but resisting the truth of God doesn't sound like a very pleasant outcome. There are a lot of behaviors that are talked about here. People who don't love the truth that would have resulted in them being saved because they don't believe the truth. There are others who suppress the truth. There are some who've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. People who are empty of the truth. And there are others who just flat resist the truth. I want to encourage you, if you are in any of those camps today, fall in love with the truth of God, and you will see salvation manifesting in your life. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."